draw from your might and your power. Let us cling to the trust and the hope that we have in you. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Children, amen. I'm among you. Search for me. I am with you. I am not far away. I want you to have a relationship with me. I long for you. Every day I long for you. Come, children. Come to my bosom. I want to embrace you. I want to love you so much. I want to guide you every day. Oh, Father, we love you. We exalt you. We honor you.
So I'll cherish your rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let's just do that one more time.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You may be seated.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Potter Sands. Happy Sunday. Good to have you here. Don't see too many ladies out there. I think they had almost 65 ladies at the retreat, eh? Somewhere? No? 35. Okay. I was a little optimistic there. So, we had an all-male team, cooking team at the kitchen yesterday morning. We pulled it off, didn't we, Don? It was me and Don and Pat and Doug. Yeah, and then, so you need five people. You need five people to do Eggers, and we only had four. And, like, we don't do scheduling for the kitchen, right? So Chad came in right at 9 o'clock and saved the day, so we had enough people to serve and everything. So praise God. It was a good time. It was good Eggers. So, I think that's, does anybody else have any announcements? Pastor Tim's coming. When's he coming, Eldon? 19th and 20th of this month, so that'll be really great. Pastor Tim from up north at St. Albert? Stony Plain, yeah. Yeah, SOS. So that'll be really good. That'll be really good, actually, if you wanted to, you know, if you're nervous and afraid to go out and witness to people, it'd be really good to get together with Pastor Tim and just go out. That's what they do. They pray, and then they go out to the malls, and they just meet people and tell them about Jesus. And always God goes before you and he picks out the people he wants you to talk to, and it's really easy. And they're just kind of waiting to hear about Jesus. So I really encourage you to do that. I think I'll be there, actually, with them in the malls and just on the streets of Red Deer. So that'll be really good. That's almost about it. I didn't really get organized enough to get anybody to share this morning, so unless anybody has anything profound from the Lord, any miraculous stories to share with us? No? Right on. Praise God.
Just
Amen.
I'll tell you, it'll get worse.
Yeah.
An alcoholic will make you log and ignore you.
Yep.
Drugs will quiet you down, but you still kill yourself.
Kill your, yeah, exactly, Floyd. Amen.
Just love yourself, love everybody around you, and if they don't love you, stay away from them.
Amen.
Because they never will.
Good word, Floyd.
All I can say is, I love God, Mother Mary, and Jesus. I love all of them.
Right on. Well, thanks, Floyd. Right on. Thanks a lot. That's a good word. Stay away from drugs. They'll kill you. Actually, it's worshiping Satan.
Yesterday, I drove to Grand Prairie to pick up my friend Garth Taylor. A lot of you might know Garth. And so they showed up at 5, and we left for Red Deer, and we just got past Leduc about 9:30, and we're going down the highway in my pickup. My kids were at home, and there's a car coming the wrong way on the highway towards me. And I pulled over to the slow side and missed them. And then at the overpass, there was about 6 or 7 cars on both sides of the highway stopped with their brake lights on and people standing. So I slowed down in case there was something on the highway, and all of a sudden, a car flew, and Garth was looking out the window and saw the whole thing, and it flew. The trunk came up, and the car flew in midair and landed 2 inches from my mirror and slid on its roof in front of us, sparks flying. And I pulled over, and then I pulled over in the fast lane, and then I drove over to the slow lane by the overpass where you get back on Highway 2, and we got out. And I was expecting my truck to be totaled, and there was not a scratch on the truck. So, you know, we just said, my boys are at home. It's late. I got to get home. I haven't seen them since 9 in the morning. So we were just thanking God all the way, like praying those people would be okay. But I was just so thankful that we never got hurt. And then I get out this morning to come here, and I go to my truck, and my front fender and my door is caved in 6 inches, and there's a hole in my door. The car actually hit us. And it didn't wreck the tire, because I forgot my spare tire in Red Deer, too. But anyway, my truck got caved in, and we didn't know it till this morning. So I come in, and we're singing Alleluia, and it just all came flooding in that I'm alive, and I'm safe. And, oh, praise God, I'm just so thankful.
Hallelujah. Wow. That's divine protection with a capital D. Praise God. That's really good. Thank you, Lord. Crazy Highway 2. I just wanted to read, I was just meditating on Psalm 61 this morning. I just wanted to read it. It's such an amazing psalm. There's 4 really great pictures of God in here, word pictures: shelter, rock, tower, and I think his wings, under his wings, like just a short psalm, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Wow, Derek could really say that. A shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Sorry, I lost my place. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. I love that line. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. Which king is he talking about? He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Wow, that's an incredible, incredible psalm. I wrote a poem about that some time ago. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, encase me in your sanctuary ere I die. Those are the only 2 words I can remember of it. But God's an amazing God. and he protects us, and he's our shelter, he's our strong tower. And like Pastor Stan said, Easter is coming, but Sunday's coming too after Easter. So praise God, he is risen indeed. So Brother Gaston, come hither. I'm looking forward to this. Brother Gaston's going to speak to us this morning. Not me, praise God.
I'm ready.
Good. You want me to pray for you before
you
start?
Praise the Lord. You know, as we gather together here today, Jesus is in the midst. That's what he says. He says, as we gather in his name, he is here. Ah.
God bless you.
Oh, thanks. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, Chad, do you want to put John 1:1 out there? It says, in the beginning was the Word. This is one of my favorite. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on and says, through him all things were made. In him was life, the life of man. Life shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not recognize him. So God came, like Jesus was it. That was Jesus, the light. Do you remember the light came to this earth to save us? That's Jesus. He was there at the beginning when he created the earth. You know, when you realize you're sitting on a planet in the middle of nowhere, do you realize that? Do you actually remember that you're on a planet here in the middle of nowhere? And there's a sun, there's a big ball of fire over there. And this earth could not survive if that ball of fire was not created. So God created, he made it, put it together at the beginning. He made this earth, but this earth could not live without that ball of fire there. So it had to be created by someone that had a plan. He had a plan. And I'm going to show you his plan. I'm going to take you right up to the born-again experience of Jesus and his plan. Actually, somebody just got saved there here last week. This man right here. Hallelujah. This is what it's all about. All of us, that's all it's all about, is bring you to Jesus and Jesus to you. Because we were changed by him, all of us. All of us at one time or another, we came to know Jesus. Isn't that right? Some of us don't. Some of us don't have Jesus yet. But it's one soul at a time. Hallelujah. And that's what we're created to be. We've all been given enough faith to bring Jesus into you. Praise God. Sorry, I have to set myself up here. It's nerving to come and talk to people, you know. But the Word says, you trust the Holy Ghost, and he'll speak for you. That's what Stan does every week. He does great. Praise you, Jesus. So as we gather in his name, he's in the midst. And we've all been born again. Or if we're not, we want to be. Now, what is to be born again? Oh, I'm ahead of myself again already. Like the earth and the sun, this is the way I witness on the street. That's the way I go to a store and I witness. And I let somebody to the Lord in about 45 seconds. But, you know, like when you look at it, you look at the sun there and the earth, they are so many miles away, but yet they're perfectly in perfect position. If you move the earth from the sun, the earth would freeze. If you would move it a little closer, it would burn. But the millions and millions of miles, but yet you can go outside and let this rays of the sun touch your face. Now, you know the scripture says, I can show you God by the way. God says, you can, man, I have no excuse but to know me because I created the earth and the system around us in such a beautiful way that God can, people have no excuse but not to see him. Now I'm going to show him to you right now. I'm going to show him. You just saw him there. You just saw him when I show you that the sun hits your face and it just caresses your face. It just gives you a warmth. It's just perfect. It's actually the sun was created for you so that you could feel him. Just perfect. Now, it could not have happened in a boom. You know, they talk about a boom creation. That's not the way it happened. Because there's no beauty in a boom. There's no plan. There's no plan. You see God there? So God created man and women in such a beautiful way too that if you look at them, they fit together beautifully. There's a plan there. God created a plan. Now what happened, something happened in the Garden of Eden that God is holy. We just pray, we just sing to God that he was holy. We know he's holy. So he created man, but they disobeyed. And they became sinful in the garden. Isn't that true? So why God had to separate himself from them? Because he was holy. But he provided a way for him to come back, for a man to be reunited back to him. He says, I'm going to design a way that will be according to my wishes. That's what the Father says. He says, I'm going to find a way for man to be reunited back to me according to my heart. And so he looked at the earth and he looked for a man that could fulfill his desire, and he didn't find any. So what he did is he took a note with himself. That's powerful. Make him a non-liar. He's not a liar. He took a note with himself and he sent his son. And his son actually did what the Father, it was acceptable what Jesus did to the Father. It was acceptable. It had to be extraordinary. It had to be holy. Jesus was not a sinful man. He was actually the fullness of God. He was part of his hip, I'd say. I'd say it's part of his desire. And he said to us, he says, I created you and I love you. I love you because I created something beautiful. Now, so don't go about saying that you're no good. Don't you ever say that you're no good. God created you. And even when you were sinful, God says you're worth saving. Huh? When you're in addiction, homosexuals, doesn't matter what you do out there. God loves you and wants you out of there. I said, I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to show you me in you. You the redeemed in me, me in you, you in me. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show it to you today. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 2:10, when you come to God, when you come to Jesus, through Jesus, it says you become, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we pass from darkness into light. That's what happened to you. That's why this week you don't feel like drinking. You just told me that earlier. You said, I don't have desire for drinking. I don't have desire for smoking. And I was offered drug there two hours ago, and I said no. Right? Is that what you said? That's the new heart. Now, that's the first joy. A lot of us have been born again for many years. We forget our first joy. We forget how gloriously, how saved we were. And how we are the joy of the Lord. What's his joy? Let's talk about that. That scripture is, everybody knows that scripture. What's the joy of the Lord? When he's pleased with you. When he knows that you love him and that he loves you. He's joyful. He's joyful when you believe in him by faith. You're entering by faith. He's rejoicing that. Because you have not seen him. But it's been counted righteousness to it's been counted righteousness unto you to have believed without seeing. You have not seen him. Have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? No, you saw it with the eyes of your heart, which is faith. Praise the Lord. You can see him again. That's what our wishes is for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Ephesians 4:22, it says, it would do in regard to your former life to put your old self. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Chad. Praise you, Jesus, for technology. We were taught with regard to your former way of life to put your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desire, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self. Where do you see this guy? Where do you see that new self? You see it in faith. You see it redeemed. The blood of Christ redeemed you away from sin, away from corruption. You say you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a standing. You got to remember. You have to remember that. It says, you put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, keyword, created. What's that mean? I mean, that's done. That's right. So when we come to be born again, there's a work that we need to do. We need to remember, first of all, that we are. You cannot forget that. See, there will be all kinds of things coming against you that will say, religion will come against you and say, no, you have to perform to keep your righteousness, otherwise you're no good. Well, remember the first day when you were saved by the blood. That day you say, oh, you mean to me, tell me I'm a sinner, and now you're taking that sinfulness away from me, and you're putting me in a state of righteousness before you because of the blood? No, you have to go back there. Because accusation will come. Accusation will come for sure. In Ephesians 5:8-10, it says, you were once darkness, but now you are light. So now that you're not darkness anymore, you're light. You're actually more than that. You're more than just the light. You are salt of the earth. We forget that. Let's name them. Let's name everything that we are and that we forget. We're the light of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We have been redeemed, justified, sanctified. There's a work of sanctification going on in our mind. We have a new name written in the book of life. I'm no longer Gaston. I'm whatever. Actually, all things have passed away. All things have become new. If it was not for my French accent, all that French thing would be all. That belongs to the earth. That belongs to my old life. That belongs to, you know, they still fight because they speak English or French. That belongs to the world. That's not has nothing to do with us. You know, isn't it amazing that the presence of God is here, but it's so simple in a way. Eh? It's so simple, but God's in the midst. You know, there's a lot of you that were drawn today. I was thinking about that on the way here. You were drawn here today. God, you get up, put your pants on, you go, I'm going there today. That's where I'm going. I want to go there because I know God's there. God talks. Jesus talks there. And that's the beauty of the church, is that it gives life. Not Gaston that gives life. It's the Word of God that gives life. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to the nursing home this afternoon to preach. Hallelujah. You know what God says to me? He says, take some seeds and throw them out. Don't calculate how they fall and who they're going to receive and who's going to receive and who's going to be touched by the word and what's going to do Gaston and Grace. No. Just take the lead. Whew. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm a gardener. Aha! Another thing it says, don't be cold. Well, you could be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Meaning, like, do you give the appearance of being hot, but it's nothing there? Just be hot. You know, just be hot. And I was thinking, oh, I love to, you know, stand sometime, walk on the chairs here. I'm going to do it. I've been wanting to do it. That's the liberty of this church. Hallelujah. Jesus! Hallelujah! On the earth, Jesus! Jesus for Canada. How about Jesus in Canada? You know, the church are empty in Quebec. You know that? Hallelujah, they're full here. This is the hotbed of Canada, man, for the church. You go to Quebec, you hear about this place. Not Potter's Hands, but you hear about Red Deer. You go to the little church, Pentecostal church there, and they say, what's going on in Alberta? What's going on in central Alberta? Well, I said, I know what's going on there. I'm there. Right, that's it. This is it. Hallelujah. Jesus, that's what it's all about. Life-giving, life-giving. These times here that we have together, when we gather together, I'm sorry to say, but these are life-changing times. Like sometimes the people get prayer here, and for life-changing, if you change your mind one iota towards God, there's a life to change. You change your mind about, well, I go about my life every day, and then say I have a problem with my eye. You know, I will take that example as a man. You know, I have an eye issue. You know what I'm talking about, guys? An eye issue. And then the Holy Ghost lives in you and he says, can you control that eye of yours? That's what the Holy Ghost will say. Can you control that? Can you control that eye? And you'll say, I hardly looked. You'll justify it. But the Holy Ghost never give. See, God pronged you into holiness. He never condemns. Religion will condemn you, but Jesus doesn't. He says, remember what I've done for you. So he brings you back to the memory of where you are and what you have. And especially when you're in addiction, or because the whole world would condemn you then. When you're in addiction, you're no good for God. You're no good for Jesus. Well, no, that's what Jesus came to save you in the first place. He saves you. He says, you believe in me, don't take your righteousness, take mine. Take mine. And remember that you have mine. Because the world will condemn you, you will condemn yourself, the devil will condemn you. He's the accuser, the brethren, the lots of religion out there. There's a lot of different gospel out there. We'll try to make you perform. And you can never meet their performance. So you'll feel, or you'll go into your own feelings and your own understanding, and you cannot find God there because you understand Jesus in faith. You enter in by faith, meaning you cannot see him, you cannot understand him, you cannot feel him. What you do is faith in what he says and faith in what he does. You know, when you're first born again, we have a really small understanding of what Jesus and what happened to us. But you've been given a new life. Jesus says you've been given a new heart. And he says that you have been giving his law, the law before there was a law, you know, there's a law. But now he wrote in the law in your heart. And you know what that means? It means that that heart now is able to love. You are able to love the way he loved. Because the law is all the things he doesn't want you to do for your own good. First of all, he hates. All everything about the law, at first, when it was given, it was to show you that you were sinful. It was a precursor of Jesus. It was behind Jesus. See, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is the law right behind here. And it was given to you to show you that you needed to be a savior. You needed a savior. It was given to show you. When it was given in the Jews, and they follow it, they couldn't meet it. They couldn't meet. And on top of that, they sacrificed goats that was a reminder of sin for them. See, and then Jesus came. And now the law is here, but he said, I wrote it in your heart. So now you know not to hurt your neighbor. That's a form, because now our new gospel is to love. And it comes through not hurting your neighbor, or not gossiping about your friend, or not stealing, or not murdering your neighbor because you hate him. Hate will come in your heart because you still deal with the old man that like to rise up above you, make you believe that you are something else that you're not. You always have, when sin comes, grace abounds even more. Amen? So when there's sin in your heart, say I have a reason to hate my neighbor. That comes every day, yeah. That comes once a week that I have a reason to hate my neighbor. What do you choose? You remember who you are. And then you say, oh, see, that's the change of your mind. And see what happens there? And that experience happens to us every day. So you choose and say, the Holy Spirit is there with you to guide you. He won't do it for you, but he'll give you the wisdom. Right? Give you the wisdom and you say, okay, I'm not gonna. I used to have a neighbor like that. And I won't go in the story of that, but there was a time I would tell my wife, no way, I'm not doing what you're supposed to, you know, I'm not doing that. You wanted me to do something with the building or whatever, water line, and I didn't feel right about him. I felt taken by him. And I had many discussions with my wife. I would say, forget that. That's saying it nicely. But then the Holy Spirit works nicely and gently. He does that in all of our lives. And he says, Gaston, it says, somebody wants your half of your shirt, wants your sleeve, give him your shirt. So that day came where that guy phoned, said, are you going to do this? You going to disconnect this? I mean, I would try to argue with him. Nah. And then the Holy Ghost says, and this guy's pulling on your shirt. I take a good example. It's to my credit. I could show you some examples that are not to my credit. I'll show it this one. But right away, the Holy Ghost is saying, so I said to him, I know it's going to cost me like $3,000. And he didn't really deserve it. I should have sued him before, and I didn't let it go. I said to him, okay, I'm gonna make it right by you. So I went ahead and did it. Thanks to my good friend, it only cost me $2,000. But I let it go. What is that? That was a time I would tooth and nail. I was in the world, tooth and nail. Go to court, fight with him. That's not the heart of God anymore. His law is written in our heart to be, do not covet your neighbor's. I want to show you something else, guys. Yeah, do not covet your neighbor's tires. That's a private joke. I'll show you another work of the Holy Ghost in the heart. And that's so important to know who you are and who he is in you. That's really what I wanted to communicate with you today. Sure, I like to witness Christ and bring those that are not saved to be saved. And then I had a little bit of that in there, and I said, I'm going to spend some time there. But I see there's a new convert there. But after that, I was going to talk about who we are and who he is. We'll come across in this church, the work of the heart, this is the way it goes, the work of the heart. You ever heard about don't pass judgment? You ever heard about that? Don't judge. You heard that? You know, actually, the scripture says that within the church, we're supposed to judge one another. But don't judge those outside the church, because God will do that. That's not yours. But we discern one another. But we got to judge with an attitude of love. Otherwise, the judgment could come back and judge you. I'll show it to you. Say, for example, one of my brother is gossipy, and I know him to be gossipy, and he hurts others. And that discernment, right, about him, But now I have to be careful in my judgment on him, because it says, well, the way you judge, you will do the same thing somewhere else at a different time. So if you want your judgment to be right, what you do is you bring it to a level of love where you start to pray for him so that God would take him out of there. Please, Lord, have mercy on this man. He has nothing but hurts. He hurts people with his gossip. Give him wisdom. Now your judgment become right, where you brought him to a new level. You brought him through your prayer, because now you're loving him and you're not just judging him. See, that's the heart of God. That's the new heart. That's the new Jesus in you, where you get to come to what Jesus created you to be, which is love. Now, in this church, we have come to a new place where we've been given the occasion to see our failure, each other's failures. So now are we going to raise? I think we have rise to the level of love, where, because we're still together. If there was no love here, then we would not be together. You know, when a church is strong, is how pure the relationship is within one another. Now, a lot of people know Stan, and a lot of people have a good relationship with Stan, and Stan has a good relationship with them. But there's a lot of people that know me, and I know them. And how pure is our relationship? How good is it? How strong is it? Am I praying for you? Am I your friend? Am I gossiping about you? Am I backstabbing you? Or do I judge you, come across you, just to judge you and talk about you? That's not the Church of Christ. And I tell you, in the end time, we have an easy time here. We have all this electronic and all this. This is very nice. But this is because we're free right now. We can preach whatever we want. But if persecution comes here, this is going to change. This is not going to be so easy like that. Well, I don't say that it will, but I'm saying that it's easy. So now let's rise to what God asked to be in a loving, to come to a loving, just hold on a minute, okay? Yeah. Let's say Ephesians 5:10, I think I read that. You were once darkness, but now you're a light. You have to remember that. You have to remember, it says, there's a man that gets up in the morning, he looks in the mirror, who he is in Christ, and then he forgets. Might as well be Catholic. What I mean is, I used to be Catholic, and praise the Lord. My mother still worships the Virgin Mary, but I'm going to have to lead her to the Lord, because I don't believe she knows Jesus as a Savior, only as a Savior. And we are told not to worship the dead. They worship the dead. I don't think that's a true religion, where they really preach Jesus, born again. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. That's ought to be about that. That has to be about Jesus, resurrected, dead. Hey, I want to talk to you about something that's powerful for me. You know, Jesus was on the cross and was dying. Can you be quiet for a minute? Be quiet. Sorry. Impatience. See? You can choose. You can go there so easily, isn't it? So easily. So, Jesus on the cross is dying. And he says to the Father, he says, why have you abandoned me? What do you think that God abandoned Jesus when he needed him the most? I think Jesus had an expectation. Even that, you notice in his question that he had an expectation. Why have you abandoned me? I think he expected to be raised or something. God was holy, and Jesus was dying to bear your sin. So he became sin. No, God could not have nothing to do with him at that moment. Jesus had to bear the fullness of sin. And he died. And then he went down. And then one thing I like is he went and took the keys. He went took the keys of what could be held against you. Took it out from the devil. Because he had the right at that point. He was dead now. He did his work. The work was done. The blood was shed. So now remember that when you come to Jesus, when you come, the most powerful name you can have is Jesus. Remember that in the name of Jesus, you can do all things. If you just remember that the rest of your days, and that the blood of Christ give you a righteousness that never came from you. So when you go about your life and there's sin in your life, don't let religion come in and say, you got to quit all of that, otherwise you're no good for the blood. No, you don't go to quit sinning to become righteous. You go to your righteousness first. And because then when you see yourself righteous, you will desire to put sin aside because you're a new creation. You don't stop sinning to become righteous. But because you are righteous by the blood, you will walk and put sin aside through the help of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convinces you. I talked about that earlier. Praise the Lord. That's the work of sanctification. It says, Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It says, if you proclaim Jesus, if you have Jesus, if you call on Jesus, he gives you his Holy Ghost. And it says, if you don't have his Holy Ghost, you're not of God. So you have to enter into Jesus. Jesus is the key. You cannot know God unless you know his Son. See, that's where you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. I mean, like, that's the way it is. So, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's you. Even if you're not aware that you are led by the Spirit, in Proverbs it says that you are anyways. Because it says there's many a heart in the man's, there's many a plan in the man's heart, but God directs its path. And he desires that you have good things and a good life. But you got to be careful. Because in sin, say you embrace sin. Say you go, you come to Christ, you just come to Christ. You're not free. You're free from the condemnation of sin. But you cannot go back and embrace sin fully. And I'll tell you why. Because when you're under sin, when you embrace sin again, you will not see your righteousness. And you will forget it. You will walk away from it. Because in sin, you cannot see. When you're under the condemnation of sin, because with sin comes condemnation. Like the devil does not preach Jesus. The devil comes with the fullness of the condemnation of the old law. And he comes with the fullness of it. And that's what he tries every day, is to condemn us when sin comes. He says, you are no good for God. And he'll do it so much that pretty soon you'll feel it. And once you're in feelings, you're not in faith anymore. And faith in the blood. It's really hard when you're in there to get out and to go into your faith again. You have to do it. Otherwise, you might as well walk away. But you don't. You know, like you become mature, or you mature up. As you go back, you go back, you remember what the blood of Christ has done for you again. And then you see that you're forgiven. How many times did I do that when I lived in Calgary, single in addiction? You know what most of you knew what my addiction was. It doesn't matter which addiction it was. It was one addiction. Every day I went after it. But at the end of the day, when I was born again, at the end of the day, I put my head in the pillow and I looked at what I've done all day. I felt sorry. I felt bad. I saw the abomination of it. I certainly didn't see it when I was doing it. But I saw it in the contemplation of my mind and my heart in my bed. And then God would say, Gaston, you got to look. You're going to learn I forgive you, but, you know, that thing is blinding you. You know, to be an outstanding citizen, to be walked freely. You know, addiction always takes more than what you have to give it. So eventually you only have left with what, everything you, pretty much you give it everything, right? If it's an addiction, it's because you're giving it everything that you have. That's your preoccupation. That's what you love. That's what you go to. And it depends what it is. It'll kill you. That's what it does. It takes away more than what you have to give it. And it's not from God. Anything that is not from Jesus is death. You know what death does? Produce death. Death produces death. But life produces life. Hallelujah. In James 1:21-4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trial of many kinds. See, God is involved in your life. I'm going to prove it to you right there. Because you know that the testing of your faith developed perseverance. Now, perseverance is not an easy thing, but this is the key here. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, that's an ongoing thing. Perseverance. Like, it means you persevere. Like, I mean, like, you fall. You're in failure most of the time. When you come to become born again, it's joyful, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And that gives you a new life. But then after that, you put your rubber shoes on, because I tell you, you have to say no to what's evil out there. There's this devil out there that will come and suggest things that are not from God. And you have to discern that within your heart. What's of God? Is that not of God? Oh, that's not of God. And I guarantee you that in some of our life right now, there's a lot of things that are not of God that we have accepted already. But persevering is saying, I persevere. I said, I have failed, but I'm forgiving myself because I know God has forgiven me. And I'm going to persevere and hoping that next time I'm going to my mind change about it, that I'm not going to fall. And at least if I fall into it, I'm not going to be falling the way, same way I failed in before. One little bit change at the time, that's life-changing. That's the work of sanctification, and praise the Lord. We all are involved in it. And over the years, 6 months, a year, me, I'm 55 years old, but I've been at it for 30 years, hallelujah. There's some part of my life that took longer. The perseverance took me 15 years to get out of addiction. See, I tell the guys in here that comes in here that a little bit, you know, say they have, they keep coming back. But they have problems, obviously, and they have. I said, it's not about your problem. It's about your desire of wanting to be in the presence of God and be changed by God. So I said, don't worry about your problem. Just come back. Come back, and you come, and then you start to test. You start to want to have a heart of wisdom where you get to be surrounded by people that are good to you and people that have wisdom of God. And you start to like the wisdom that this guy has. You know, my brother over there, you like his wisdom and you want to be with him. Because you know that wisdom of God, man's of God, is a good place to be, a good surrounding that shapes you. And then you start to taste the love of God, which is that God says, I give you my wisdom, I give you my Holy Spirit, I give you friends, I give you pillars of the church, I give you good friends, people that will have your back, I give you good life. What's a good life? Well, let's name it. What's a good life? You think having a good wife is a good life? Well, ask those that are here that have good wives. They will say, that's number one, man. Because in a relationship, you know, if your wife is a little bit pulling on your side over here, you would say, well, you know, like you'd say, no, a good wife makes it easy. Jesus, ask them, me, my wife's like that. I know some others. Those are blessing of God. Good life is a blessing of God. Good friends are a blessing of God. Shaping brothers in the name of Jesus are a blessing of God. A church where you can be yourself is a blessing of God. Well, you know that if you have a chance to get out of the pews and speak your mind once in a while, that's a blessing of God. You know, where a church where it's not so stuck in Christianity, where if you took the spirit out, they would notice because they're so stuck in repetitive motions. That's nice to have that. Sure is, praise the Lord. I had to put that in there. I'm going to go to Isaiah 6:1-3. That was my first scriptures. I skipped it earlier, but it's powerful. I'm going to show it to you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. As you're talking God here. High and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him, hallelujah. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." We sang that earlier. Now we have a picture of it. Isn't that a powerful picture? Then you're talking God here, like is surrounded by angels that have six wings. I don't know what beauty he sees in that, but he's God, so it's cool. I mean, like, that's a huge thing for me. We actually believe he's here. Why does God give us why do you think God gives us part of his presence? We can feel his presence. Why do you think he gives that? Because there's a peace in there. And there's a peace in there, and there's a joy in there. When you come in contact with God, Jesus, the impersonated, what do you get? You get a peace. You get a sense of belonging. There's a healing there. There's faith there. There's a unity there. Then you know you come with a purpose, with the same purpose. And you want God to be moving among you. Sometimes that happens with prayer. When somebody is broken, it has prayer right here. Right here, right now. You know, we meet in homes and we see the glory of God. Where people are ministered to individually where they would not open otherwise. And life had changed a little bit at a time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. And that's what it's. I'm at the end of my page. And I'm looking at the clock. Oh, throw that clock out of here. Praise Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Through him all things were made. In him was life. Light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. And then he carries on. Like, that's powerful. Like, right from the start, when he created it all. When he created it all. Hallelujah. Now, I believe this church, you know, my heart would be that we would go back, go in the soup kitchen. I wish that we would meet in the soup kitchen, where we would meet people, like 20 and 100 of those, really hurting right down where it's at. Don't wait for them to come in. Let's go to them ourselves. I'm an evangelist at heart. I wish you go. We go together. And leave behind the electronic and the feel-good thing and, let that go. Actually, in the book of Acts, there was no buildings. They met in the street. Let's go and meet them, all of us. We're all equipped. That would refresh me. I want some action. You know what I mean? Not just me speak. You know, I always Maybe I speak maybe here, maybe never again. I don't know. But I want to, you know, like if I go there, I know that there'll be some souls. You know, let's move. Let's get off our pews and go. This is not only about a teacher. The church is never only about one teacher, one pastor. It's never about that. It's about a fivefold ministry. And I believe as we come in the end time here, that you're going to see the fivefold ministry rise up, which the evangelist, the pastor, the teachers. We've seen the pastor and the teachers. Praise the Lord for them, and they are here. But there's the prophet. Where is he? That speak, the true prophet. Where is he? Let's identify him so we may profit. We may profit. Where's the tongues? Where's the prophecies? We want to see that. And I believe it will come. I believe so. Because it comes when it's in our heart. It has come here already. It's here already. It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts to see the fullness of God. And praise the Lord for that. I never closed before, and I don't know how. So there's my friends going to come stand. And we're going to go that way. You're good?
You're good.
Amen. Amen.
Can we pray?
Yeah.
I think it's good to pray.
Let's pray.
God, thank you for your word. And wow, we heard a whole bunch of really good stuff today, God. And a good reminders today. We're pointed to the cross again. We're pointed to the blood of Jesus. We're reminded that we are completely clean and holy, not because of the things that we do, but because of what you did for us, that one all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that it's not about us doing good stuff. It's not about us trying to be good. We can't be good. We can never be righteous. Our righteousness is only in Jesus Christ. So I thank you for that. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the God who created the heavens and the earth, and that you have a plan. You're a God with great order. You're a God who had a plan right from the beginning so that you could save us from the mess of sin. And that plan included, it was pivoting on Jesus. Jesus, who was there right from the very beginning, that you're our Redeemer and our Savior. And all we can say is just hallelujah. You are holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that because you are holy, and because you say we're holy, we are.
Amen.
And no other reason, just because you say it, because of Jesus. So thank you for our brother. And God, I just pray that this word will penetrate our hearts, that we'll leave here today full of joy and just wanting to please you because we love you. Like Gaston said, it's a motivation of love. We just love you. It's not out of obligation, it's out of love. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Good paraphrasing there, buddy.
So just one of the things that really Thank struck you. Me when we heard the word Let's today is just, you know, sometimes we're only making little incremental moves forward. I don't know if you feel that or not, but, you know, it isn't always like you're, you know, getting around the block. You're only getting one little square of the sidewalk. But I was encouraging to hear that today, that's okay. It isn't about how far you're getting. It's about the fact that you're going with Jesus, right? And it's the direction you're going in, yeah. I love that. And, we're kind of goal-oriented. We're living in a world that says you should have a five-year plan, you should have a one-year plan, you should have everything pretty ordered and structured. And I don't know that's all that biblical. I think that the Bible says that we need to just worry about today, don't worry about tomorrow, and that the key thing is just to follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus, and if you only make it this far, that's okay. Today, you are clean. Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. You don't worry about where you are 3 months from now. You just worry about that today you're clean. Amen? And that some days, you know, we make a whole lap. Some days it seems like, wow, I really made some progress. And some days maybe you don't even make progress at all. And it feels like you went three steps back. But it doesn't matter.
Because it's not about what you do, and this is a key thing today. It isn't what you do, it's what Jesus has done for you. So we sang this before, and I just want to sing the chorus and maybe a verse or two, and then there's a song about that we're not in this alone. I hope you can just stay for and listen to it. But so I'll cherish, can you sing that with me? The old rugged cross. Let's stand. Until my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross. Exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross. And exchange it someday for a crown. Yeah, amen. Give him a big hand. Thank you, Lord. That hand is for Jesus. It's not for me or for Gaston. We don't clap for each other. We just clap for God. Okay, so just this last something I want you to take with you. That you're not in this by yourself. You don't do this alone. We do this together. We walk together. We are one body. We're one community. And we follow a master who is Jesus. If you have to do it by yourself, you're in big trouble. And I think there's a lot of people who feel real lonely in the world. The one thing that we have as the community of believers, as true followers, the one thing we have that is super attractive is that we're not in this alone. A lot of people are taking their lives. You know, high school kids in this city, many of them are taking their lives because they're so lonely. They think that they're doing it all by themselves. It's not true. People in addiction, they think, it's all me. I got to do it. I'm all by myself. You're not. This song is kind of a special number, and I hope you'll sing it with us, but it says, you're not alone. You're not alone. He's with you. When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear, 'cause I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me, and you will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. No, I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. Before me, you will never leave. In the midst of deep sorrow, I see your light is breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you find my end. my strength, and you're my defender. You're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. You say amen? Jesus says, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. Behold, I am with you even to the very end of the age. So remember that today. You're not alone. And as you leave this place, God goes with you. He walks with you. He holds you up. He protects you. He surrounds you with his angels. He's watching over you because he cares about you. He knows what you need. He knows who you are. Now get this. And you belong. You belong to him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. That's his big smile. The Lord lift up his big smile upon you. And God give you his peace. Amen? Are you alone? I am not alone. I am not alone. I am not alone.